The Bible said in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now, not tomorrow, but now, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, I'm glad that he took my sins away. I said he took my sins away. One day I repented of my sins. I went down in Jesus' name. And he gave me the Holy Ghost. And he gave me the assurance that my sins have been washed away. I wish I had a church here today. Lord, and Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to our God forevermore. While you're standing, let me read you one verse from the 60th chapter of the book of Isaiah, and just verse 1, powerful verse. It says, arise, everybody say arise, and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. I'd love to read that again. Arise, and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'd like to entitle this, my short discourse with you today, Surviving Spiritual Blackout. This message came about as a result of our experiences that we had a couple of weeks ago when we had that power cut all the way to the northeast. About 6 states, over 50 million people was affected. There was no electricity in our area for about 20, 29 hours or thereabout. But we have learned to survive the darkness and the inconveniences that were perpetrated on us. For whatever the reasons are, I'm not sure if they've found out as yet. They're still investigating for all I know. But it does have spiritual implications. Amen. For none of us have everything that it takes from the time we're saved till Jesus comes. Every once in a while we have some dashes in our lives where there's no fillings. And amen. And you have to survive those areas. Praise God. You see, serving God or Christianity is not necessarily a feeling, but it's a fact of life. Amen. Gentlemen said it's a way of life and living. And how many know that life has its ups and downs, its ins and outs? Amen. There are some Christians try to live on a miracle boat. But I come to tell you that it's not always a miracle boat. There are some genuine valleys and genuine mountains that we have to climb in order, amen, to strengthen our faith and our confidence in our God. And we have to learn some skills to survive during those blackouts and those periods of negativity in our lives. Can I have a witness here? You may not have them yet, but if you hang around long enough, you may have some. But I come to tell you that the God who has begun a good work in us, he's able. I said he's able to finish it. Hallelujah. We are living in one of the darkest eras of our history. From my standpoint. Very dark. Very dark. But it gives us as a church one of the most beautiful opportunities that we have ever had. Hallelujah. And I believe that God has a high degree of confidence in today's church. God is sovereign. He's master. He's Lord. He knows the end from the beginning. And since God is God and he's sovereign, we as a people, we could have been history. And those who are history could be in the present reading about us. But God has preserved us for this time so that we can read about them. I come to tell you that God has matched men and churches with time and history. And God has matched this church I said, I'm glad I'm a part of it. God knows a high degree of confidence in today's church. He knows that we could match the demands of the hour. Hallelujah. What I thought is true. I thought about how God matched Noah with his day. The Bible said the earth was corrupt. Amen. Every evil vice that you can think of was present in the days of Noah. But the Bible said he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he became the preacher of righteousness in that wicked generation. Amen. God had confidence in him. Then I thought about Abraham, how God took him out of his country and from his kindred and from his father's house to a country that he did not know of. Amen. And from Abraham came the family and the tribe and the nation of Israel. Amen. He became the friend of God. A man that stood against the criticism, amen, and all that was hurled at him in his day to become the patriarch of the faithful. God matched him with his day. Then I thought about Elijah. How God matched him with Jezebel, that wicked queen. God matched Elijah with that woman. Then I thought about David, how God matches David with his generation. And the Bible said that he served his generation. David served his generation. Hallelujah. Then I thought about Paul and Peter and James and John, how God matches them with the infancy of the apostolic church. Amen. And they did valiantly for God. During their day, they did exploits for God. I said they brought about the greatest revival that history has given to us. In 2 years, Apostle Paul reached all of Asia. Powerful. Powerful. This was all the work and hand of God. Then I thought about how God divinely preserved us for this day. It's a day of challenge, ladies and gentlemen. It's a dark day. Amen. The things that we are experiencing today, I'm not sure if Paul and Peter have heard or seen a lot of these things. Even if they were prevailing at that day, some of them were in the closet. But now the doors are wide open. And those that were hidden in the closet have come out. And the church, God, has preserved us to deal with this present climate. John described the generation as a generation of vipers. Amen. This generation is anti-God. And you don't need me to preach to you and tell you that. You just listen to the media. Read the newspapers. Watch the television, those of you who do. Amen. You'll see it. You'll hear it. And the darkness is closing in on us. Hallelujah. Church that was designed, amen, to be the umbrella of a generation to preserve our children, amen, has become hostile to traditional values. And those who still have the audacity to hold it high, amen, they are looked on as weirdos. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. If I was in my church, I would do a little different here today. Amen. But I'm new here, and so I would probably love to come back. Yeah, amen. But I have news for every church that succumbs to the pressures of the present moment. Hallelujah. I said I have news for every church that succumbs to the wills and fancy of the moment. You're a church that is on the way out. But I think that God has preserved us for this time. Hallelujah. That's why it's important for every apostolic to have strong conviction. You must know what you believe. The Apostle Paul said, I know what I believe. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep. There is church and there is church. We're not all alike. We believe differently. We believe in the plan of salvation. Repentance. Godly sorrow for sin. And a turning away from sin. Every once in a while, the church will have to echo the sentiment, repent or perish. Hallelujah. And then we must be baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. This may not be popular, but we are not here to be popular. We are here to preach the truth, behold truth, and nothing but the truth. Oh, I wish I had a church here with me today. Baptism must be done in Jesus' name for the remission of our sins. Hallelujah. And then we must. I said we must. It's not a if you want to. It's not a maybe. We must be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in another tongue as the Spirit gave the utterance. For this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but in the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. He that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. And we shall be changed. We need the Holy Ghost. We must have the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It is the message of the hour. I said it's the message of the hour. Earlier this year, Brother Moody, the Lord spoke to me about some things, and I raised it to my church and said, there is a plan of the enemy to neutralize the effects of the gospel today. He has moved into our song area and took out the things, amen, that give rise to what God has designed and planned to help the process. And so he took out of our songs the blood. Oh yes, that's what he does. The blood. I know it's not fashionable to talk about the blood, but I come to tell you, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I came in yesterday and I wanted to make the trip to Christ's temple, where the famous Bishop A. Haywood, G.T. Haywood, founded. And I love to sing the song that he gave us, coming out of prayer. When gloom and sadness whisper, one of the verses said, you have sinned, no use to pray. I look away to Jesus. Oh God Almighty. These days you are undergoing pressures and circumstances, and the devil keeps you oppressed and depressed. Amen. But under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, he said, I look away to Jesus. And he tells me to say, I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. It waves to reach the throne of God. But weeping over me. When you sing that song, you feel the cleansing. You feel the washing of the blood in your heart and in your soul. Hallelujah! I said, bring back the blood. I said, bring back the blood in our religion. Hallelujah! Then there is an absence of the cross, because the cross paints a very gloomy picture. It depicts suffering and agony and pain, rejection. And so people find it very fashionable to find a little gold cross to hang around their neck. But it has nothing to do with the one that Jesus died on. Absolutely nothing. The cross is the purest expression of love. For on the cross Jesus died so that we might be saved. And to move away from the cross is to forget what Jesus did for us. We need to bring back the cross. And last of all, the name. The name. It's absent from much of our deliberations. The name. Even our services, you don't hear much about the name. But I still remember what the Bible said in Acts chapter 4 and 2. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name. Oh, I wish I could say it the way I want to say it. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Matthew 1 and 21, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name. For he shall save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. I say, bring back the name. For in that name there is power. In that name there is authority. In that name there is salvation. I said, bring back the name. Come on, touch your neighbor and tell them, let's bring back the name. Let's emphasize the name. Let's preach the name. Let's speak the name. For all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Hallelujah. There's much I want to see in heaven. Peter, James, John, Abraham. But I want to see Jesus. The one who died for me. Hallelujah. The one who knew, in whose name I was buried. The one in whose name I receive remission of sins. Oh, the name of Jesus is so sweet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so there is much that is ongoing in the spirit world to neutralize the effects of the gospel. It is simply because that the darkness is closing in on us. Hallelujah. How could we ever have a service without mentioning the name and the blood and the cross? How could we? How could we? That's why people, amen, don't know what it is to be saved. And they feel like everybody is right. But I come to tell you that there is a difference. There is a distinct difference. Hallelujah. I say this, and it's true, it's true. Much of the distinctiveness of Pentecostals have been removed. You know, like the clapping and the singing, the music is being transported into other. Can joke and jive, if you understand the term, and they can get emotional and all the rest of it. But there still remain a few distinctives that we must guard as oneness Pentecostals. Amen. Few distinctives that we must guard as oneness Pentecostals. I just emphasize them. The name, the blood, and the cross. And the oneness of God. Amen. Not very many groups you find embrace that concept. That biblical concept of the oneness of God. I tell you, when you come into this revelation, It revolutionized your life. Hallelujah. I'm of the opinion that you can be saved without a revelation of, of the oneness of God. I stand corrected, but I'm of that opinion. But I'm not sure if you can continue to serve God and have any measure of success until you have come into that revelation of who God is. When that revelation has come to you, I'll tell you, it totally revolutionized your life, your ministry, your service to God, your worship. Hallelujah. Make you the Christian that you ought to be. Amen. We must guard that because the darkness is closing in on us. But the challenge has come to the church of the day to arise and shine. The 59th chapter of the book of Isaiah, amen, it talks about the things that got Israel in the first place into trouble, going into Babylonian captivity. And then in that verse, it tells us of the sins and the rejection of God that the nation of Judah was involved in. And because of that, God allowed them to be taken into captivity. But in the midst of the captivity, this prophet, this messianic prophet, Isaiah, was a prophet of hope. Prophet of hope. He was there to give Israel hope in their frustration. Hope in their hopelessness. And one morning, he walked out on the streets and his message is, arise and shine, for your light has come. What a message in a time of darkness. What a message in a time of hopelessness. Hallelujah. Isaiah, you have a promise. You are people that is in covenant relationship with God. You are going through a process. Amen. That will last forever. I want your hope to be high in God. Arise and shine for your life. Hallelujah. And I come to preach to this church this morning to let you know that there is enough to get us depressed. There is enough to get us discouraged and downhearted. But I come as a messenger of hope today. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, of the psalmist? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. There's no hope in the things around us. I said there is no hope in the things around us. I don't care what you have or what you're striving to have. There is no hope in them. The things that I've seen, they're temporal. But the things that I've not seen, they are eternal. I said hope in God. In verses 1 and 2 of that 59th chapter, said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities are separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. God is not a God of inabilities. He's a God of abilities and possibilities. His hand is not short that he cannot say. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. But there's an impediment. There's an obstacle. And that obstacle, we must move. And if we move those obstacles and impediments, God will work. I said, God will work. He wants to work today as he worked yesterday. He wants to work today as he will work tomorrow. For Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. A nation that learned how to worship God, that consecrated every part of their bodies to wickedness and evil, their sins and their disobedience, amen, had created a condition of spiritual blackout. They could not hear from God. Living in the realm of sin and iniquity meets all conditions of a power blackout. For there are some conditions that God don't strive in. Sure, there's a particular climate that give rise to the move of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Acts the 2nd chapter, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. There has to be a condition of unity for a move of God. Amen. We don't all have to look alike to have unity. We don't all have to be physically in one place to have unity. For we can be in one place and we are far apart as the east is from the west. Amen. But when the church unites, it gives rise to a move of God. And I don't know if you know it, but I do. That God wants to move in an unprecedented way that this world has never seen. Amen. Did not the prophet prophesy that in the last days I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I will pour out. I kind of like that word, pour out, not trickle out. Or spill out. Amen. It has the connotation of picking up a bucket and turning it upside down. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Amen. I read about the revivals that are taking place overseas in Ethiopia and all Papua New Guinea and all the other places. But I want to tell you that in North America, the time has come for us to see a move of God. Thank you. I said the time has come for the conditions are right for an unprecedented move of God. The Bible said we have sin abound. Grace did much more. Hallelujah. Sin creates a condition of powerlessness in which we are unable to do God's bidding. Sin defeats and overthrows our best intentions and handicap us as a people. Amen. Because of the darkness of our hour, everything loses their distinctiveness. Sin is no longer sin. I preach as I'm led. Right is no longer right. Amen. You know, at midnight, everything loses their distinctiveness of their colors. There's no white, there's no black, there's no red. Everything becomes a dirty shade of gray at midnight. And that's where we are. It's midnight in the psychological order. It's midnight in the moral order. Come on. Amen. Amen. I said it's midnight. I said it's midnight in the religious order. And it's time for the church to arise. Interestingly enough, I had a conversation with a group of young men just on Friday night. We had this back to school get together. And the question was asked, why it is that we can't stand up and project our faith in God in the current climate in our schools? And one young man answered very, very quickly and said, it's because there is more of them than there are of us. And right away the Lord dropped a thought in my head. And when it was my time to respond, I got myself a box of match, amen, and I pulled a stick of match out of it, and I cut all the lights off in the room. And I struck the match and lit it, and I held it up. And I said, hey, who has the most attention in this room? And they all laughed. They all laughed. I made the point, even though I said your light might be insignificant, but in a dark situation, you will get the attention. Hallelujah. You command with respect. In a dark situation. Amen. And the point was driven home. The point was driven home. There is no need to back away. Amen, off your conviction and hide your light under the bushel. I come to echo the sentiment of Isaiah. Arise and shine. for the light is come. For the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. I serve in one of the most populated areas of our country, the city of New York, the metro city of New York, not the metro city, but the city in itself, the five boroughs of New York. Over 8.5 million people. Because you can comprehend that. Five boroughs of the city. Every nation under heaven is represented in our city. Every culture, every race is in our city. Sometimes when you look out, you're almost overrun. You're overwhelmed with the enormous task that the church has to reach these people. And then that's where it comes to me, and I believe it's from God, that God has strategically placed you in that city for this time. And the idea sunk in my heart. You are not the one that's saved. God is the one that's saved. You have a mission to preach. And like the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord said, whether they will hear or forbear, just preach. I said, just preach. If they listen to you, preach. If they don't, preach. If they laugh, preach. If they criticize, preach. For it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I'm convinced that they will not all be saved, but they all must hear. For the same gospel that saves is the same gospel that condemns. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Depend on your response to the gospel. Positive response brings salvation. Negative response brings damnation. But the bottom line is preach. Preach. And the idea of preaching does not always give us a picture of a pulpit with a minister with a mic. One of the most effective methods of preaching is the life we live. Because if the sentiments that are echoed from this pulpit is not borne out in the lives of the parishioners that come here, for the moment you'll have a hard time. Because the sermon is more effective when it is seen than when it is heard. Hallelujah. And so it's our time to arise and shine. Because this is our day. I believe it with all of my heart. Because I would not be preaching it. This is our day. This is the finest day of the church. This is the finest hour of the apostolic church. And we are going to see a move of God that you have never seen before Jesus comes. Amen. Amen. If you don't hear my voice again, remember that, I tell you. For God is going to have a glorious church. Amen. Not a church that is limping or just barely making it. He's going to have a glorious church. I tell you why. Because the church is the bride of Christ. Yes. Hallelujah. And I've been to many weddings, and I've done many weddings, ladies and gentlemen, and nobody have any interest in the bridegroom. No matter how he dresses, all eyes are turned to that door, looking for the bride. Looking for the bride. And God is going to have a glorious bride. Out of this darkness, it's going to come a church without spot are wrecked. If that's not the case, Calvary's in vain. If that's not the case, the resurrection is a hoax. If that is not the case, Pentecost
never happened.
And I believe that all the above happened. And so there is going to be a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Out of this condition, out of this darkness, going to rise a church to meet her Lord in the air without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. A church with a great level of expectation. A church with a great level of anxiety waiting for the bridegroom. And so I say to you tonight, today, arise and shine, for our light has come. Whether you are here or there, it really doesn't matter. Wherever here or there is, God placed you there for the one and only reason, and that is to shine your light. Lastly, Jesus said to his disciples, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and be led to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I have come to believe that there are people in our world looking for a level of genuineness. They're looking for a church that is for real. They're used to this facade. Amen. And this program, they're looking for a church from which emanates the love of God, compassion, and interest in them. And when they find it, I come to tell you that they will gravitate towards it. It's a day when so many people are phony, and there are so many fakes around in religion. People are looking for reality. And it is only to be found, and I know I'm going out on a limb when I say this, in the Apostolic Church. Hear me. I will not tell you that there are not pockets of negativity among the Apostolic Church. Yes. But above and beyond that, there is a level of sincerity. There is a level of reality that cannot be denied. Yeah. Lady told me recently, he said, I've been to several churches and I just don't feel nothing. I left empty. But he said, when I came to oneness, I felt God. Oneness, by the way, is the name of our church. I felt God in the service. And I can tell you that oneness don't have any hypocrites. But beyond the hypocrites, there is a emission of love and compassion and worship, genuine worship and praise that exists. And sometimes it is irresistible. Just can't fight it. Just can't fight it. A lady came to our church and, oh, it was one of those mornings when I did not have any control. You ever been one of those services? Where you have no level of control. And the energy was just pumping. And she couldn't take it. And so she got up to leave, went through the side door. But just in the flick of a moment, something pulled her in. And she came and sat down in her seat. And before you knew it, her hands were raised. Speaking in another language. Yeah. That is perfect. God is real. I said, God is real. The Holy Ghost is real. Hallelujah. Come on, take with me and grow. Arise. Shine. For the light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee.